I bid you all good evening. I appreciate so much your interest in spiritual things. It has you to come out and be with God's people again here this evening. Appreciate the fact that you've chosen and you've made the effort to be here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for God, and I appreciate that so very much. Appreciate so much for that good prayer that was led a few moments ago and the good singing that we have, even though our number's down a little bit. It's good to see all of you, and we certainly appreciate that very much. This evening, we're going to continue on to worship God at this moment by preaching and teaching His Word. If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. God in all things may be glorified. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. And so we're going to honor God and glorify God now, not just simply by me proclaiming His Word, but you listening, and following along, and being edified and applying the things that God has said. God is the one that is in the audience this evening, not just you. He is watching us, listening to us as we come to Him in worship here today, even in this very hour, even during this very lesson. So as we close this day of worship and begin a new week, I'd like to finish up my idea that I talked about last Lord's Day evening of Bible lovers. I mentioned to you and remind you that man is the only member of creation with really the ability to truly love. Love is an attribute of God. Matter of fact, John said, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The manifestation of what love is, the priority, the act of goodwill towards something, is manifested in God Himself and how it is He has reached out to His creation. And a failure to have the proper love for the right things is a major cause for many people neglecting their responsibilities. And as we began last Sunday night, and I'll just remind you that the Bible has a lot to say about the things that we should love and the things that we should not love. And getting those kind of mixed up causes a lot of problem individually and congregationally. And so I just wish to remind us of these things, especially as we, again, close this day of worship and close a year, for us to consider the things that have been much important to us and the things that should be important to us. Last Sunday evening, we talked about the idea that we should be the lovers of God. We started the lesson with that because that's where it all needs to begin. That the main priority of our affection and our desire needs to be with God, pleasing God and obeying God's word. Lovers of God, lovers of good. There's not a lot of good in the world today. It doesn't seem like it's promoted. You and I need to cleave those things which are good, abhor those things which are evil. We need to be lovers of the truth. The Word of God is the truth, and no matter what it is that God has to say on any subject matter, that is what it is that we should hold of and be loving. We are not to be lovers of self. We are not to be lovers of parents more than God. We should not be lovers of darkness or lovers of this world. That is, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the things we talked about last Lord's Day evening, and I'd like to conclude this series with this lesson here this evening. Another thing that I want you to appreciate, the Bible says that we need to make sure that we're not lovers of, and that is lovers of money. One of the probably most misquoted scripture of almost all the Holy Writ is 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, where there the Apostle Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from faith and pierced themselves through with many a sorrow. How many times have you heard folks say that money is the root of all evil? There's nothing wrong with money. What the problem with money is what we're talking about last Lord's Day evening, again tonight. Our proper emphasis and our concern about money. Those who love money. That is a problem. And what I want you to see is that this is not a problem that the Bible addresses in regards to the world. Certainly those that are in the world have a problem with loving money. But when I read in the scriptures I'm talking to you about here this evening, I want to emphasize that the Bible is warning Christians about the concern of loving money. He says, those who love money, coveted after that, have erred from the faith. What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. They at one time had been in the faith, but they have now erred from the faith. Why? Because they loved money. And in doing so, they have pierced themselves through with many a sorrow. Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The Apostle Paul, again, addressing to the young man Timothy, I want you to charge Christians that are rich in this world. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we compare ourselves by ourselves. But we need to understand that everyone in here, when you apply this idea here this evening, are rich in the world standards. And if we're not careful, we'll become high-minded and we'll begin to trust in uncertain riches rather than in God. I've got plenty of money in the bank account, and all of a sudden my dependency of God begins to slip, both congregationally and individually. And I want you to appreciate the proper perspective in regards to money is necessary. In the book of Luke in chapter 12, beginning about verse 13, a very amazing story to me. In verse 13 it says, and one of the company said unto him, that is to Jesus, Master, speak to my brother, that he divides the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over thee? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the things which he possesses. And the reason that statement is very profound, because of the context in which it is said. Here it is, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And this man here, by the way, who's a religious fellow? He's a religious fellow because he's following Jesus. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. But he still has this obsession with things. He has an obsession with money. And what I want you to appreciate, that all of us have been there. All of us have felt some time or the other to have been wrong somehow financially. And how has that cut us to the heart? And if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we will convince ourselves that this does not apply to us. But I just simply exhort you to consider these things here this evening. That the love of money and trusting in money is a problem not just in the world, but also amongst the brethren. Jesus said in the parable of the sowers in Matthew 13:22, he said also, he that receives the seed, which is the word of God, among thorns, is he that hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Ladies and gentlemen, as I think about the idea of Bible lovers, I want you to appreciate one of the problems is those that are lovers of money, but also lovers of the praise of men. Some are more concerned about what men think than what God thinks. And I will publicly confess that this has been a problem in my life, being concerned about what other people think. It's difficult to overcome that. And we all need to understand, we want to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I think all of us kind of want to be liked and respected by other people. But what we're talking about here is people who would rather be right in the sight of men rather than the sight of God. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, we have some very religious people again. This is not just something that's a problem in the world. It's a problem of those who profess they have a faith in God. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And again, notice the fact that their priority was wishing to be considered praiseworthy in the sight of men more than the praise of God. And I have to just do a little inventory in my mind and have to think about the things. When I make decisions in my life, the things that I do, am I doing those because I wish to be praiseworthy in the sight of God? Or is it that I wish my brethren to praise me, or my man or woman at work to praise me, the fellow men that we run into? What is it that we are most concerned about? Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, for I am now persuaded that do I wish to persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. When I think about that idea, I understand that if I am truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, my concern is going to be completely upon whether or not I am living a life that is pleasing to God. When we seek to please men, our reward is here with men. And Jesus talked about in Matthew 6 and verse 5, don't be like the hypocrites that pray in the synagogues very loudly and long prayers because they love the praise of men. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Whatever look you received or whatever flattery words of men that you received because you're so concerned about how they feel about you is the only reward that you'll receive. And what a shame that is when you think about what we forfeit when we are pleasing to our God. The Bible talks about lovers of the praise of man. And once again, I just ask all of us to listen to that with fresh ears, to look at this with fresh eyes, and ask ourselves a question, is that us? But also, lovers of preeminence. Some desire just simply to be others. They like the power. They like the recognition. They like the say-so. John, in his third epistle, in 3 John verse 9, said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, did not receive us. Trying to be first among God's people has been a cause of problems for a lot of people. And all of us have seen it. Once again, many of us, from time to time, have probably failed in this regard. In the book of Mark, in chapter 9, in verse 33, I want you to listen and remind yourselves of this story. It says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat them down, and he called 12 and said unto them, if a man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. Once again, trying to make the point that these things are not simply the things of the world, but the things of brethren. Here were the apostles, chosen of Jesus, who were with him on a daily basis. And what was their concern? They were lovers, in many cases, of preeminence. James and John, the mother themselves, had asked the Lord, when you come in your kingdom, allow my sons to sit on the right hand and on your left. They were concerned about having preeminence in the church. But those of us, Jesus said, who wish to be first, if you truly want to be preeminent in this group, then you will be the servant of all. It is, seems to me, to be one of those things that is just inherent amongst men, that people wish to be first. I see it every day. Conference calls all week. 10, 12 people, and people wishing to be preeminent. Having their say-so, having the words, the flatteries of other people. And I want you to appreciate here this evening, one of the lovers that the Bible talks about is those that have lovers of preeminence. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in all lowliness of mind. Let's all esteem others better than ourselves, Paul said, Philippians 2 and verse 3. Also, the Bible talks about lovers of worldly wisdom. We must be aware, or beware, I should say, of the God of education. Education is fine, but there are dangers in too much learning of the world. From a worldly perspective, Paul warned the Colossians in Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You see people who will work and spend and save money to learn more and more and more of the things of this world, but will never get around to cracking the Bible, the Word of God. Why? Because they are lovers of worldly wisdom. And it goes back to loving the being praised by men. They love to be able to put all kinds of different letters after people say, I've seen people send me emails on a daily basis. I think they have just the alphabet after their name. And it's because they've went after and they've got all the certificates and all the education. And once again, in and of itself, it does not have to be a profane or an evil thing. But if we're not careful, we will become lovers more of worldly wisdom than the things that we wish to know or God wishes for us to know. And we must not let this philosophy and these teachings after the rudiments of this world rather than the things of Christ to spoil us. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about the power of God and the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 4, 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, for no one of you should be puffed up for one against another. Gospel preaching must not be with enticing words of men's wisdom. Again, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Man cannot know God nor his will by worldly wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, Paul said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Lovers of worldly wisdom. I've had brethren who can tell me everything in the world about World War II, but couldn't tell you anything that happens in the book of Acts. Now, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. I want you to appreciate those who are lovers of war. Nothing against the knowledge of World War II, but the priority. Do we know the Word of God, and do we understand the wisdom by the Spirit rather than of the world? But also, there's lovers of pleasure. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, he writes his last book before he's beheaded, he said, they're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We live in a pleasure-crazed world. Again, Paul talking about younger widows, he says, but if she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives, loving pleasure keeps many from obeying the Lord. Though all the world and all of its pleasures, delighting the senses, delighting the mind, delighting the flesh, and people love that, and they obsess upon that. Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 14, and those which fell among the thorns was they who heard the word, choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. There is pleasures of this life. Sin can bring pleasure to the senses. It can bring pleasures to the mind. It can bring pleasure to the eye. It can bring pleasure to the flesh, but it is temporary. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, and verse 24, they're speaking of Moses. It said, by faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin can't be pleasurable, but the payment of it is eternal, and it is temporary. The Bible talks about those that are lovers of pleasure, but also, it talks about those that are lovers of hospitality and strangers. Many fail to practice hospitality, but the Lord commands it. Again, as we talked about last week in Titus 1 and verse 8, this idea is an idea of a qualification of an elder, but a lover of hospitality. It's literally the idea of entertaining strangers. That is someone who is interested in taking care of and being helpful to others and associate with others in a social setting. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It's one of the ways we edify and encourage one another, by being hospitable one to another. In Romans 12, 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, being given to hospitality. It is just something that becomes innate in us. We cultivate this desire to do these things for others. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Too many just do not want to take the time to be hospitable to others. The Bible talks about those that are lovers of hospitality and lovers of strangers. So again, got to look inwardly to myself. Am I a lover of hospitality? Am I a lover of strangers? We have become, in this communication age, somewhat insulated from the world. I remember my grandmother telling me stories of being out on the porch, and what they did for entertainment was they invited folks over and they talked and they socialized. Now I just text you. I don't have to see you. I want you to appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about lovers of hospitality. And finally this, lovers of the brethren. This is a great call and a great need in the kingdom today. There is just not enough love among brethren today, and there cannot be too much. I'm going to say this one more time. There is not enough love among brethren today. There just isn't. Now, we might say it. We might say we love the brethren, but we understand, and everyone could stand here and teach, that love is an action word. It is an active goodwill toward others. We might show this love to a stranger, many people will not show this love for their brethren. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, Paul told the Romans. Let brotherly love continue, the Hebrew writer said. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth in the spirit of sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. You can't read those things without understanding the emphasis that God places on us loving the proper things. And he said, I want you to be lovers of the brethren. And it's high time that we practice these principles. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Bible lovers, the Bible speaks of them, lovers of money, lovers of the praise of men, lovers of preeminence, lovers of worldly wisdom, lovers of pleasure. Are we any of those? Lovers of hospitality and strangers, and lovers of the brethren. If you and I, just taking these two lessons in aggregate, can learn these principles, to love the proper things, to put these things in our action, into our lives, and I think our time will have been spent very profitably. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Maybe the one's not been obedient to the word of God when he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is an opportunity to do that. Maybe there's something else that the Lord will allow us to do from his book to help you get back in a right position with God. If you just simply need the prayers of the congregation, this is a wonderful opportunity to let your request be made known. We're extend the invitation to you right now, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now as we stand, as we sing.
I wonder